Yes. How's everybody doing?
Good.
In case you were wondering, I'm not doing very good. I feel a little bit under the weather today. So we'll see how this goes. I hope when you saw the title of my talk up there, you saw the exclamation point, because this talk is titled, not just who do you think you are, but who do you think you are? Okay? I'm sure you've heard that before. But truthfully, I mean, who do you think you are? Like, deep down inside, who do you think that you are? How do you identify yourself? I mean, physically, we have fingerprints that identifies us pretty well. People recognize our face. What about your thoughts? Are you your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions? Who do you think you are? I want to do a little experiment with you guys today. So if you would just close your eyes, and we're going to spend a moment in the silence. And what I want you to do is attempt to not have any thoughts. Attempt to clear your mind and see how long you can go without that first thought popping into your head. So we'll just spend a second in the silence. I don't know about you guys, but I've already had about 705 thoughts. It's so hard. It's so hard to clear your mind. How many of you went to something that happened to you this morning? Or anticipation of what's happening later today or tomorrow? How many of you heard a voice in your head? Or were distracted by a neighbor or a cough or a sound? That voice in your head, now, is that who you are? So there's this idea in modern philosophy called the illusion of self. So you have a pretty good idea of who you are, or who you think you are. Now, if I asked your significant other, or your spouse, or your children, or your coworkers, would they describe the same you that you would? Your friends, how would they describe you? All of these are an illusion of who you really are. This illusion of self. René Descartes was a philosopher from the early 1800s, and he came up with this. He was really struggling with this the idea of existence and existentialism, and he came up with this idea that he really settled in on, that I think, therefore, I am. Have you heard this before? I think, therefore, I am. And philosophers for centuries agreed with that. I'm going to get this out of the way right now. You are not your thoughts. And you can all take a deep sigh of relief, because how many of us have perfect, nice, good thoughts all day, every day? You are not those thoughts. What Descartes was talking about is that he believed that his thoughts defined him. And when you believe you are your thoughts, you identify with them. What I believe he could have said, or what I would say, as technology really helps me out here, is you are, therefore you think. You exist not because you think, but you think because you exist. We have a sane mind, although mine doesn't feel so sane right now. Can you grab my phone? I'm sorry. I'm going to try and pull it up on here. How many ministers have you seen with their notes on their phone? You want to talk about the law of attraction for a second? What did I say when I got up here? Oh, I don't feel good. Bear with me. This is going to suck. Thanks, man. You did. You tried. When will we ever learn, right? Gosh. So there's another really common belief in philosophy. We talked about the illusion of self, but there's also this illusion of thought, which states that you are your thoughts. And what we in Unity don't believe that. We believe that our voice in our head is not necessarily, oh good, here we go. So that voice in your head is not you. Those are your thoughts. That's your brain. Basically, your brain speaking to you. And now, we've all got a brain, and I did some research on the brain, which, by the way, is an awesome piece of ingenuity. We have the most complex computer on the planet inside of our heads. If you took each neuron in your brain and associated that as a computer, our brains would have more computers than we have in the world, more receptors in our brain than there are computers on the internet. The problem with our brain, and we've all heard this phrase where like we only use a certain percentage of our brain, and that's not even really well known. It's just kind of, there's parts of our brain that we don't understand yet, so it's assumed that we don't use them. But what I think is even more powerful is that it didn't really come with an owner's manual. We don't necessarily know how to use it very well. Like imagine this, imagine someone gave you a sports car. Imagine someone gave you a brand new Jaguar. And you only used it because the radio sounded good and the air conditioning was cool. Or you only used it to go off-roading. You were using it improperly. That's not what that was designed. That's not what the car was designed for. See, our brains are what engineers call a serial processor. Our brain is a serial processor, which basically means it can only handle one function at a time. Now, how many of us consider themselves good multitaskers? Well, I feel like I'm a pretty decent multitasker. My wife probably wouldn't agree with that, but. Fact of the matter is, it's physically impossible for your brain to multitask. So, just in case you don't believe me, I want to give you an experiment. I want you to recite your favorite poem while counting down from 604 to 582. You cannot handle two tasks at once. Now, I said the brain was the most complex computer on the planet because it works incredibly fast. So you could quickly recite your poem and then quickly remember the two numbers that I said and count down from one to the next, but you cannot do them at the same time. So you are not your thoughts, you are not what other people think you are, and you are not your brain. So who are you? How do we really know who we are? There's a couple of tests. So I've been listening to this book called Solve for Happy. It's an awesome book. The author is Mo, I can't really pronounce his last name, like Gaudat or something, Godat. And he's a chief business officer for Google. And he is a mathematician, I think just by habit. And he loves math, and so he came up with this equation to solve for happy. It's a phenomenal book. I'm only like halfway through it, but I'd strongly recommend it. But in that book, he talks about two tests to define who you are, and they are the test of perception and permanence. Perception is, if you can observe something, you are not that thing. You are looking at me right now. You are not me. And even to take it a step further, like the planet Earth, we can't really see the planet Earth until we get away from planet Earth. The first time we've ever seen planet Earth was from space. Or think of it this way, your eyes, your eyeballs. You've never actually seen your eyes. You've seen a reflection of them, but that's not the actuality of it. Now, the test of permanence is a little bit easier. It's basically, does it change? Who you are is continuous, is solid, is never changing. It's permanent. So if you think you are something and you can run it through both of those tests, can you see it? Or does it change? Then you can help. It will help you to define who you are. So another, another project to do in defining who we are is, for me, it helps to define who we're not, who I am not. So let's run through a couple of things that we know we are not. We know we're not our thoughts. Are you your body? No. We talked about your fingerprints being part of your identity earlier today. What happens if your finger gets chopped off? Are you less of who you are? No. If you need a lung transplant or a kidney transplant, do you become a little bit of the person whose kidney you used? Or if you gain weight, are you more of who you are? People change their bodies all the time. Fake tan, silicone. None of this is who we really are. If you think about it like this, if you rented a car, let's say you rented that Jaguar to take a trip across country, are you that car? See, think about it like your body is the vehicle that takes you through this journey. Now, if you rented that car for a long period of time, what would you do? You would take good care of it. You would make sure that it was had its regular oil changes. You would keep it clean and shiny because you were proud of what it was. But you are not the car. So you're not your thoughts. You are not your body. I'm going to run through some more that I came up with, and just to help you think about how you identify in the world. Excuse me. You are not your accomplishments. What were you before you accomplished those things? You are not your family. You are not your car. If someone steals your car, does that mean they're you? No. You are not your emotions. You are not your education. You are not your religion. You are not your name. You are not your past. You are not your job. You are not your clothes. You are not your relationships. Anything you have ever observed is not you. Anything that has ever changed while you remain constant is not you. I want to give a little footnote here and say, I can't define who you are. So I feel like if I were listening to this talk, I would be like, okay, just get to the point. Who am I? Not for me to decide. What I can tell you is that I believe you are the observer. I believe that the one that is aware of everything that is happening to you and around you, that's who you are. I believe that you have never really seen you, partly because we don't have the capability to see the fullness of who we are. I think everything that we talked about who we're not is in the physical realm. And to take it to an extreme, we believe that energy can't be destroyed or created. So when your body is no longer working, if you lose your body, what happens to you? I believe you move on in life. You've never seen you because you are not to be seen with eyes. You are only to be seen from a vantage point that in this physical world we can't understand. To bring it back down to earth a little bit, I like to think of my life like a movie sometimes. Like, I'm the star of this movie, right? And you guys are all my awesome supporting actors. Who is the star of your movie? You? And that's cool. Sometimes when I feel like life gets out of control, I can remember that this is my movie. Not only am I the star of it, but I'm writing it. I'm directing it. And when I feel like I'm losing control, I can straighten the ship a little bit. But with this book that I'm reading and this idea of defining who I am and defining who we are started to kind of percolate in my head, I started to realize that I'm not just the star of my movie. I'm the supporting actor in every movie of every person that I come in contact with. Think about the impact you have on other people's lives. Think about when you, last time you went to the coffee shop and you decided to go to this barista instead of that barista. And think about the person behind you's movies that they're starring in, the love story that they're starring in, that they fell in love with that barista and lived a life happily ever after with that person. That had you chosen this barista, now you have changed their entire story. In an instant, we can change people's movies and we don't even know about it. So not only are you the star of your movie, but you're the supporting role of every other movie around. That's how intertwined we are as a humanity. So I want to talk about another thing that you are not. And to be real honest with you, I don't know exactly how to explain this any further than saying you are not your mistakes. You are not your poor choices. Now, this illusion of self that we talked about, there are people out there, and I can promise you there will be people out there who will believe that you are your mistakes. And there are people in my life, I can assure you, who I have defined in a single moment, but that was just a mistake that they made. And like, that hurts me to believe that. I've carried that along this whole time. And I know that there are people who have caught me in a moment where I wasn't shining as bright as I wanted to and immediately thought that that's who I was, that illusion of self. My friends, you are not your mistakes. And I implore you to believe that nobody can make you believe that you're that mistake. I found this quote from Paulo Coelho, who wrote The Alchemist. And I want to close with this because I think it really hammers home this idea of finding out who you are. And he says, the sculptor Michelangelo was once asked how it was that he could create such beautiful works. It's very simple, he answered. When I look at a block of marble, I see the sculpture inside. All I have to do is remove what doesn't belong. All I have to do is remove what doesn't belong. The master says there is a work of art in each of us as we are destined to create. That is the central point of our life, and no matter how we try to deceive ourselves, we know how important it is to our happiness. Usually, that work of art is covered by years of fear, guilt, and indecision. But if we decide to remove those things that do not belong, if we have no doubt as to our capability, we are capable of going forward with the mission that is our destiny. That is the life, that is the only way to live with honor. So, you are a masterpiece. And you're still just a block of marble. In every choice you make, in every decision you have, and in everything you do, you have an opportunity to chisel away at those old fears, those old beliefs. In everything you do, you have an opportunity to chisel away to the sculpture, to the masterpiece that you really are. And that's how I see it. Thank you.